Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
Okay, this microphone's working, this one's not working. Why don't we make a list of the things that are working in the studio, and that would be a lot simpler. It's 6 o'clock, you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, and how about that? The microphone came back on as soon as I hit this button. Isn't that something? Weird, I found a connection. If you turn the turntable button into program, or the CD pod into program...
You can turn it on.
Yeah, but the microphone was already on. That's weird. That's really weird. Okay, so I'm going to turn that off now. Here's my other microphone. Okay, great. We're learning. It's time for another exciting edition of Off the Wall. I think things are working. Interesting how you learn certain things stop working when you hit certain buttons. It doesn't make any sense, though. I'm going to try to make this fail again. It's a scientific purpose here. Hold on. Let me throw this into there. No. Okay, well, the music stopped working, but the microphone did not. Okay, I don't know what happened there, but there is a correlation of some sort. Kyle, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm well.
I'm sorry about all the shenanigans here, but you know how it is.
I'm beginning to get a good idea of how it is.
Well, you just got back. Actually, got back a few days ago from Holland, and you were working at a radio station there. Well, a quote-unquote radio station. It was an internet stream that was at a camp, and, they probably had a lot more modern equipment than we have here, right?
Yeah, it was really quite modern and fascinating to watch and see it all work, and it worked really well.
How do they have more modern equipment than we do in a tent in the middle of the fields and forest there in Holland?
People are enthusiasts. They gathered equipment and... I guess the mixer they had was sort of integrated and had a lot of digital things and was like USB compatible and had a lot of screens and computers hooked up, and then of course microphones, and all the music of course is digital, like these MP3s and stuff like that. And that basically provided content. They actually had a phone system that ran into the board over USB, which I thought was pretty cool, so that you could get voice over IP phone calls and run it through the radio's mixer, which was really neat how that worked, because all it was just a USB plug into the computer. And we did some good radio there. Lots of talk and lots of good music. And I think we averaged about 50 listeners. That was the only number I heard. I don't know what the statistics are. I think that's something I'm going to ask when I talk to the guys in the future here, after we've all sort of recouped and stuff like that. But it was a lot of fun. And I had some interesting adventures over there. You know what happened to me on the way back?
A lot happened to you on the way back, but are you going to get into the epic travel journey that we hinted at last week?
Well, we've talked a lot about this this stuff I do with film. I'm a photographer, among other things, and I was able to travel and not have any of my film x-rayed, and yeah, that was this past spring. We traveled together, and we did quite a bit of radio. In fact, I think some of the audio from that trip is still airing on this station. So fast forward to returning from this camp that I was at in Holland just about a week ago. I've had quite a few flights connecting me to my my final departure point from Europe back to New York here. And what happened is they x-rayed my film.
Yeah, you don't like when they do that, obviously.
Yeah, I made it all spring without having any of my film x-rayed, and they did this to me. They x-rayed my film. And I did all the tricks, all the things that we kind of learned on our trip, and I'd actually flown through Paris. We commented about it. We flew on the largest plane in the world, and so I had no problems getting my film through then. But the security subcontractor that works at Charles de Gaulle, this time the supervisor, he wasn't so happy with me.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't allow me through with film. He made a compromise for the high-speed film, so he allowed 4 rolls to be hand-inspected, or at least walked through the metal detector. And all of my other film, whether it was new or old, if it was less than high-speed, he threatened to call the police or have it x-rayed, and so I chose the x-ray route.
He threatened to call the police because you didn't want your film to be x-rayed.
Correct. And I was getting a little angry, and I didn't change my language style until after he threatened to call the police.
Your language style.
Yeah, I used some other words. I was mainly talking about my career and being a professional, and when he pulled the police card, I said, you know what, I don't want to get into it, and I basically said, fine, x-ray it, you know, one time won't really hurt or ought not to hurt. And he said, ah, voila. Yeah, like that was the magic thing, all he had to do. And that really, that irked me, and I didn't get his name. I might research it, but I basically then changed my language as I was, you know, gathering my things and stuffing this in this bag, and gosh, you know, you guys are this, that, and the other thing. I was very frank with them as I was leaving security, and I complained to airframe. I'm sorry, did I say?
You can say, if we're not singing their praises, then it won't be looked upon as an endorsement.
I flew on the French national airline.
Air France. You can say that.
Yeah, Air France. I flew on them, and
awful people. They suck. They're terrible. They're horrible.
Yeah,
horrible incident that Kyle went through on this airline. Air France being the name of the airline. I believe they also have the world's largest airplane, a passenger airplane. But that's another story entirely. We know nothing about that.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. Right. But they're the worst airline ever. I don't know why they deal with these subcontractors. You know, there's no amount of nice things they can offer
was,
me in
was the guy,
future.
Was the guy? Was
oh,
he
wait,
an Air France? Was he an Air France employee, or was he simply
no,
for the airport?
No, in fairness, he was a subcontractor, and I ought to have taken it up with him and gotten his information. It was some subcontracting company. It wasn't Brinks. I thought Brinks was who was working at Charles de Gaulle. doing airport security. It was some other company. I couldn't even read the name. I couldn't tell you if I remembered right now. But I talked to the supervisor, and he was the one giving me all the guff. And, you know, I complained to the Air France, I guess, flight supervisor. She was sort of in charge of the whole flight. And she basically said, no, I cannot tell you his name. It's private. And no, you know, it's not us. It's the airport, you know, airports, French airports. So basically their port authority. You cannot, you know, this, that, and the other thing. She's just sort of making it impossible in sort of an ethereal, you know, dreamlike way, like, oh, just step on your plane and enjoy how much we totally ruined your artistic interests and all of that. So I took it with a grain of salt. Actually, there was a girl behind me who had been treated exactly the same way, and she was like, excuse me, sir, you know, I would like to complain too, as I was talking to this woman.
Wow.
This is where they, you know, you scan your ticket, you know, at the gate, getting on the plane, and she and I exchanged information. She had some problems with 8 ounces of, I think it was cheese or some souvenir that she was bringing back, and lots of people bring food or wine,
right,
or this and that. And she had sort of gotten into an argument with the guy and basically was trying to say, well, I'll do 100 liters of this and I'll separate it into small chunks, and then, you know, will that pass through? And he basically, like, took all of this fine cheese or something she was trying to bring home for family and basically ruined her gift. And so the two of us sort of exchanged stories, but it really felt futile there for a minute, and that was unfortunate.
It's harder when you're traveling by yourself, obviously, to put up a strong stance against something that's unfair. I mean, we had quite a time in Belgrade trying to basically get your film not x-rayed, and we eventually won.
Yeah.
But that's a lot to expect somebody to do when they're all by themselves in a foreign country with some guy threatening to call the cops.
Yep. I didn't have a team, you know, I didn't have that kind of, like, someone I can sort of vent and then we can plan on how we're going to approach things. And the other thing is I was incredibly tired.
Yeah, that's the other thing, because you had been through a whirlwind a travel journey back. I mentioned this last week that you were about to embark on a return sojourn involving traveling from one airport to another.
Correct.
Now, we were able to get you a very cheap fare, but in hindsight, I'm not sure how worth it was, because both on the way there and on the way back, not only did you have to take 3 different flights, but you had to actually go from one airport to another airport. There was plenty of time to do it, but
right,
when you were traveling over there, you went...
I changed from a city airport, remember.
On the way over first, you went from New York to was it London? Or
No, New York to Paris something. And then I had to switch to, like, a French city airport. There's
right,
2 airports, so I had to go cross town, and that was a 19-euro bus ride to ride to the other airport. Then I went from that other French airport
right,
to London City,
okay,
and then from London City to Antwerp in Belgium.
Okay.
Well, this was actually a little bit of the reverse, but the similar having to switch airports, but... So
you switched in London this time instead of Paris.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So it was similar, but this time I was doing the switching of airports in London. So what I did was leave from Antwerp and go to London, switch to London Heathrow, and then Heathrow to Paris.
So
Paris.
Basically, let me see if I understand this. You fly from Antwerp to London, which is, I guess, a one-hour flight or something like that, right? Not very long.
Yeah, it's a very short. It's a one-hour flight, and then I go through British Customs.
But you have to go through that, and then you have to take some kind of mass transit to get from one airport to another, and that's your entire time in London is basically riding on the subway.
Right, but I have to change money first.
And you have to change it. You have to go through customs each
Correct.
And every time you did something?
Yes.
I mean,
and I would write on the little the UK entry form, 1 hour connecting, contact in Great Britain, none, you know, American photographer, you know.
No interest in being in your country at all, just trying to get from one airport to the other.
None whatsoever. When I crossed from London City to Heathrow, I did as you suggested. I took the London Underground. I spent the entire time on the train. It took about an hour and a half, I think. I can't remember.
Didn't even
so
surface
tired.
Above ground.
Didn't really. Unless it was a stop that I was getting lost at, I would walk out, maybe go to the east or west side of the tracks. But basically, I was on the train in the train system the entire time. I saw a lot, but most of it was underground. And, that was pretty much my whole experience.
But
in
why
London.
Did you have to go through customs again or security again in Paris? That's what I don't really get. I mean, yeah, London, you're riding from one airport to another, but when you go from London to Paris, you're going from one EU country to another. You had to leave and go through customs and
Correct.
Then come back, and even though you only had 1 hour connection time between flights.
Right.
And it was in the same terminal.
Well, I think it was 4 hours in London this time. On the
way
over,
I mean in Paris. In Paris, they only had 1 hour.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I had to go through Paris customs. Wait, did I?
Well, you had to exit at some point in order to go into security,
yes,
right?
Yes, I had to leave. Oh man, now I'm really confused.
Yeah, well, you were traveling for how long exactly? I mean, when you arrived at JFK, you were really
I was whooped.
You walked directly into a wall, I think, and then they turned you around and pointed you out towards the crowd, and that's when you eventually, after bumping into a few other people, found me.
Yeah,
and
I milled around a little bit.
It was good.
I was incredibly tired. I think it was like
didn't actually start talking until the next day, but that's understandable given what you went through.
It was quite an experience. So
I'm sorry you went through all that. But
you know,
again,
I'm glad you asked. Mm-hmm. I feel much stronger after
good,
this incident.
Good. Well, this is the kind of thing that proves your mettle as a traveler.
It does.
If you can get through this traveling by yourself, not everything is peaches and unicorns or whatever the phrase is.
Rainbows too.
Yeah.
The rainbows.
Sometimes they're not there. Sometimes you run into situations like this, and sometimes you're all by yourself, and it's an ordeal. It's grueling, but if you can get back on that horse and ride it into the lake to get a drink of water, then you've proven that you can teach a dog a trick or two.
Yeah. You have to lead the cow to water.
Right, right. So you plan on traveling again then?
You know, I'm considering it.
Okay.
Actually, no, I can't wait till I leave next. I consider this a vacation in the States.
Mm-hmm. Vacation in the States. I like that.
Yeah.
So, okay. So the conference was a lot of fun.
Heard
you on the radio a couple of times. And
that was so cool. There was so much media. I was able to talk and be on the radio.
We were watching you on the video last week.
There was surveillance of me, I'm sure, more than a little bit. But, yeah, it was great to be able to communicate and chat and all of that. It was wonderful. Yeah, I had a good time. The conference went really well. I did a lot of work setting it up.
Mm-hmm.
Reconnected with a lot of people I met last year at the larger event at HAR. It was much more intimate because it was their event plus 150 people. So it was like this core group mm-hmm. of maybe 80 plus or minus, and then 150 attendees or maybe 200 attendees. So it was much more intimate, and I got to really connect with a lot of those faces I met at the larger event at HAR, and work with them and share with them and meet new people and have a lot of fun, relax, joke. We had wonderful barbecues, bonfires, and there was even a group of guys that sort of started a band.
Oh, really? I didn't know about this.
Yeah, the guys that took me under their wing during HAR had Guitar Hero. I just loathed that because I didn't go all the way across the world to play video games. But they had Guitar Hero, and they really like a lot of metal and like rock music out in Holland. At least from what I've seen, they really, really enjoy like rock style music.
Mm-hmm.
And so this time they upgraded, and they've got guitars, bass, and drums. So they had a pretty much a full band. They even asked me if I wanted to do some singing, and I said, you know what, guys, I don't know if I'm up for it. But and I think they got unofficially named the Pitchforks.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we'll certainly be looking for any releases from them heading this way.
But it was a thrill, and I'm really happy to be back.
And you're back here in New York and having all kinds of fun, and, of course, next week then you go back to Seattle. For a little while. For a little while. You'll be back here before you know it.
Yeah, I'm excited to go home too. I kind of miss the West Coast just a little.
Yeah,
and,
well, you haven't been there since June, right?
Yeah,
or
been
July.
Gone,
actually.
I've been gone for 2 months. Yeah, yeah, it's really good to get out of town. I'll go back there, check in, see if everything is still working the way I thought it was in the good old state of Washington, and then get things in order and maybe start looking at making some plans for the fall and winter. I think you and I've got some ideas, and I've got some ideas for some cool trips and just,
we always have ideas.
Yeah, to stay active, so some cool things to be doing, just to keep projects going and keep the conversation, keep different things, you know,
and
in
on
the
that,
work.
And on that subject,
developing.
On the radio, we've got some more adventures that we had in the past. We just did the last of the Bosnia shows last week. In fact, you guys were listening to that over in Holland, which was a lot of fun. We were watching you listening on the video here.
Yes.
That was really kind of wacky.
Yeah, we all tuned in live at the Rev Space.
And we still have more to go from the Balkan trip of this spring. I think the next stop is Albania, and that's really quite a blast right
cool.
there.
Cool. Yeah, I can't wait for that. I absolutely remember that vividly. We were sitting in a cafe and...
Well, don't give it away.
Oh,
it's a surprise. Well, yeah, we were sitting in a cafe.
Well, one of many cafes. And they have cafes in Albania.
They sure do. They have coffee and they have all kinds of snacks.
Gosh, yeah. And, oh,
other things, too.
Oh, I'm just thinking of all the stuff, the materials we've gathered. One of the things I'm going to do is develop pictures. I got pictures that I'm coming up with now and things to archive. I remember doing a lot of the photography there, and gosh, it's really cool to go back and look at your record or hear the different material that we recorded, just seeing it and experiencing the way of life, kind of the city life there. I remember just getting across the border and going into Albania was wild.
Yeah. It was something. We've had quite a few adventures, and we're trying to figure out where the next one should be. And, of course, the Starbucks competition will be starting up again sometime in the autumn.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Another project. We got to check in with them. And
we're down to 16.
Yeah.
Go to thefirststarbucks.com to see the final 16 Starbucks, of which one of those will be the first one I ever set foot in sometime in 2011. And, of course, we'll be focusing, doing some features on each of those cities in the weeks ahead so that people know exactly what it is that the possibilities hold. All kinds of fun. It's been an action-packed year.
I mean, I can't wait for more. You know, it's just like you got to – it's inspiring to go back through it and plan and, you know, archive and then get on to the next and do some more stuff. And we keep coming up with ideas and more projects in the process. So just keep flourishing.
Gotta sit down for a little while because there's just so much activity.
Yeah.
And tonight we're also going to put an end to one of our features, put it to rest, put it to sleep, as it were. And I'm referring, of course, to the playing of a selection from the Bell Telephone 100th Year Celebration LP that came out in 1976. Good Friends Are for Keeps, and we've been playing one song from this album every now and then. And we're up to the last song. We're up to the very last song. America Sings of Telephones is one of the other titles of the album. All kinds of really cool information, and it's on vinyl, so I'm not sure it's going to work. Last time we played a song on vinyl, we only got one channel. I'll tell you, since this is the last song, if that happens, we're going to stop it and fix it and play it right.
What's the name of this track?
Okay, the name of this track is called The Bell Waltz, and it's played by the Longines Symphonette. I don't even know what that means. According to the album, the final selection, is called the Bell Waltz. Never heard of it? Listen to it and discover the true meaning of nostalgia. The Bell Waltz was written by Donald Voorhees, well remembered as the gifted and gracious conductor of the Bell Telephone Hour. Your album, Good Friends Are for Keeps, is the telephone in song. Is a telephone in song. That's what they're saying here. A sampler from the first 100 years. Enjoy. And that was written by Max Morath, who did one of the songs at the very beginning. At the bottom of the album, it says, Long Distance is the next best thing to being there. That used to be the slogan for the phone company.
Right.
All right. So we're going to hear the Bell Waltz. I think we're going to hear it. Let's hope it comes through in both channels. And if not, we'll be right back to repair that and figure out what's going on. All right. I'm sorry. That's the last song ending, but it'll here we go. Okay, clearly that didn't work out. Now, Finn, could you move it to this turntable here? We'll put it on the other turntable instead. All right. That's why we have two of everything, because that's why we have two ears, two eyes, two nostrils on one nose, right?
Two kneecaps.
Yeah, exactly, in case the IRA gets a hold of you. Okay, so we Finn is here. We had to bring Finn in to cheer up the turntable because we can't do everything here. And let me know when that's ready. It's the last song. All right. Okay, Finn's busy working on this.
Hey, E.
Yes.
Did you know that every Bell telephone is a long-distance station?
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that
at all. Oh. Okay, are we ready to go?
We're going to give it a shot.
All right, hit the button. All right, look, you're telling me that one turntable has one channel, the other turntable has another channel, and that's it. Come on.
Try fiddling with the cartridge, I don't know, or is it's in the board.
Do you want to fiddle with the cartridge?
I don't know, I don't want to fiddle with the cartridge, okay, I don't...
All right, listen, Finn, do we have other turntables in the other room?
No.
You don't?
No.
These are the only turntables in the whole radio station.
Yeah. This is a hazard.
Kidding.
Yeah. This is a hazard of modern technology, I guess.
This is not modern technology. I don't know what this is. I don't even know if it qualifies as technology. I don't want to play the last song for the folks in one channel only. That's not fair. I don't want to patch one channel onto two channels because then you're losing one channel, you know?
We got to talk about what works here.
Are you sure it's not the stylus?
I'm never 100% sure.
Do you know how to take the stylus out and put it back in? Okay, why don't you do that, and maybe that'll fix it. You know?
What are you
switch
the styluses?
Yeah, switch the styluses. Styli, or whatever yeah.
There's a lot of styli going around here.
And then we'll just, we'll plop the needle down in the middle of a song we've already heard, and that way we can just see quickly.
Well, this way we don't ruin the anticipation.
Yeah, because we've already ruined it twice.
Hey,
I'm apologizing for this, and we'll edit this out before it goes on air. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know how to waltz?
I do, actually.
You do?
I do know how to waltz, but not in the way you might think.
Okay. All right. It's just a question.
Slowly bring it down to...
Is channel 6 or channel 7?
All right. Bring it up slowly.
Okay, bring it up slowly. Okay. All right, I'm hearing...
Now don't let your empty room...
No, I'm only hearing one channel there. I'm hearing the left channel.
You can fill the silence with a smile. And don't let the crowd on the street...
Yeah, I'm sorry about the feedback there. I don't think that's the problem. Why don't we open this whole thing up? All right, I've opened up the entire board. And
I've never seen you do that.
Stick your head in there. All kinds of capacitors and tubes and yeah, it's all kinds of wires, none of which work.
Yeah, look at the switches.
Yeah.
Switches, those look like they're from the phone.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing that the phone man would come and fix.
Oh, my gosh, and there's, like, open circuit boards and...
Yeah, and something in here, Kyle, does not work.
Yeah.
Let's figure out what it is.
Are you sure?
What are these fuses here? Do they do anything?
Fuses,
probably don't want to touch them.
You probably don't need those.
All right. You know, this isn't the song, right? This isn't the last song. We don't want to play the last... All right.
Careful. Yeah, you want to keep the microphone out.
What if I swap these? Hold on.
All right.
Yeah, you see, that proves it's not the board because the same problem happens on two different channels. You see, it's definitely the turntable.
So that's happening the same.
It's happening here and it's happening there. You see? Yeah, work on it. Maybe somebody has a turntable they can loan us. You know, one of those Fisher Price things.
Yeah.
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 That would work a lot better. I'm mortified. I'm very sorry about this.
Huh.
But am I surprised? No, I'm not surprised. Yeah. We're going to take it apart?
Well, sometimes the pins on the back of the cartridge, they don't actually contact the tone arm, and so you got to push them back in the cartridge.
Uh-huh. I don't want to bring this record in anymore. You know, it's hard enough to carry one vinyl record with you, and remember not to leave it in the car and...
sit on it.
And people are pointing at you as you carry the thing, and
yeah.
it's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well... let's talk about what we did yesterday. We went to the city council in New York City. We went to the hearing at the crack of dawn it wasn't a hearing to save Hotel Pennsylvania. It was more a hearing to decide whether or not the city would grant permission for Vornado. I understand it's pronounced Vornado.
Vornado, Vornado.
Well, I've always been saying Vornado. At the meeting, the people from the company were saying Vornado. I figured they'd probably know how to pronounce their name. I don't know how we determine how you pronounce a fake name, because there is no such word as Renato or Vornado. But you made a good point that it's spelled like tornado with a V, and tornado, of course, you don't say tornado. But everybody's
right.
been saying Vornado, so I don't know where that came from. But I'll say Vornado, if that helps.
Yeah.
People from Vornado were basically presenting their idea for a 67-story office building to be built on the site of our hotel, where the Hope conferences are. And all the media was there. It was basically all the attention, though, came because the Empire State Building has gotten involved in this. And they say, we're not too keen on the idea of a 67-story building being right down the block from the Empire State Building. It's going to block the view. It's going to affect all sorts of things. I don't know why they took so long to get involved. And they're not really opposed. In fact, nobody really seemed to be opposed to destroying a hotel.
Isn't
except,
that funny?
Except for our group. Even the hotel union people, they only cared about getting restitution or getting compensation
right.
for their workers. They
for
didn't
the
really
union,
care about the
fair
hotel.
Compensation for their unions. And it was just so funny. The longer we sat there, the more we heard people basically being like, yeah, well, we'd like an amendment to your proposal, or we'd like to, you know, just have a fair shot at severance or something like that when we lose our job to this monstrosity they're going to put in.
Hang on, we're going to interrupt you for one moment. We're going to test
sure.
out. Finn has done some repair work. Do you want to hit the... No, I'm afraid it's still just one channel. Yeah, it's... I don't know what to tell you. It's a hopeless cause.
Mm.
Finn, when's the last time you played a record, an actual...
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, and this didn't happen?
No.
And did you patch around it? Did you rewire or anything like that? Okay, you're going to try it on this one now?
Just in case.
All right, this is number two. Go ahead. Yeah, now it's the other channel. Wait. Actually, it might be both channels. Hold on, let me turn the microphone off. Okay, great. Thank you, Finn. Yes, just bring it a little bit before the last one. Let me bring it up so that I can hear you queuing it up. Go ahead. Yeah, that's what I used to cue up records all the time. All right. We're going to hear, finally, the Bell Waltz through both channels, the Miracle Stereophonic Sound, as Finn cues up the song here. This, again, is the last of the pieces from the 100th anniversary of the Bell System, which was 1976. Good friends are for keeps. America sings of telephones. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bell Waltz. Okay, well, you know, what does that have to do with the Bell phone? That just sounded like, I don't know, I'm not going to complain, but there it is, the Bell Waltz, the final song in this record. And, you know, yeah, the left channel did seem very low, but it was there, I could hear it, just very, very low.
Amazing.
I'm amazed we got through that. Okay, it's done. It's finished. Never have to play another vinyl record again.
No. Play records.
I don't like it.
Vinyl records are great. Come on.
Yeah, but this
turntable like
is awful.
We'll fix it. We got to get it fixed. I like when you play vinyl.
I used to like when I played vinyl when things worked.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back to the hearing that
yes.
we're at, the hearing about the hotel plan. We'll talk more about this tomorrow night on Off the Hook. But basically, it seemed like, as you were saying, that most people just wanted to be taken care of one way or another, and nobody was really looking out for the hotel, which I know we agree, and I know a lot of other people agree, is a real relic to history and an attraction for so many people who are traveling, as we do so often, to other places. It's fairly affordable, it's very convenient, and it's huge. And it's something that is a vital part of the community. Unfortunately, most of what the city council and most of what the other people who are at the hearing seem to think about was the needs of business, the needs of vitality to the community for CEOs and commuters, and not so much for residents and travelers and merchants and people that they don't really care about all that much. We got our say. We were able to actually speak in front of the council. You, in fact, had the last word.
I did. I spoke last.
And after that, they adjourned the hearing because there was nothing more to be said after you gave your piece.
That's right.
It felt good to get that out, to say what we had to say. We only had 3 minutes each to say it.
Yeah.
Unlike some of those windbags that were going on about
their
proposal.
They got so much time. I agree with you. My conclusion is similar, that it's the type of people. They don't want, the stimulus that travelers and people that stay at hotels and, the type of people that the hotel provide, houses in
right.
the community that go there, that's not of interest to them. They want other types of people, commuters that are going to come in and come out or, just bring their dollars. And their labor in for work and then leave, so that, big business multinationals can cash in and then, the types of money and stimulus that goes into the community, like at your local, deli or, theater or something like that, something that, someone from around the world might spend just isn't enough. And I got the real sense of that. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it felt that way too. A little bit disconcerting. But not surprising.
Yeah.
Not surprising at all.
Yeah. I'm not shocked either.
They haven't voted yet. They haven't voted on it yet. That vote could have come today. I don't think it did. It'll probably come tomorrow. And after that, the mayor still has to approve it. And after that, it has to still happen because they're not going to move forward on this without commitments from major businesses. And that's another thing. Where are these businesses going to come from? Are they going to come from downtown? Isn't it Peter robbing Paul? To get this thing off the ground in the first place, it just doesn't seem like a very good idea. It's not over yet.
Yeah, I wanted to mention one other thing, and I don't think I got to say this at the hearing, but basically their big argument was that the city can't provide transit and that there's this huge bottleneck at Penn Station, and private industry stepped in and they can do it. And what it sounded, it's, they just wanted to build this building, and like a side effect of that was that they would open up the transit and then keep people, moving further away from that hub.
That's an enticement for the city to get the transit fixed because the city can't do it themselves. And the price tag for that is, okay, let us destroy the hotel and build this huge office complex with security barriers and all this kind of thing.
But,
and one of the things that's interesting in there is that they basically give something back to people like us who care about the hotel. Part of the office building, one of the corridors, before the security barrier, they even admit there's going to be a big security barrier in this place to keep everybody out, but on one of the corridors will be a display for the hotel, along with a link, a printed link to a website, and that's supposed to make us happy that, wow, they're actually going to acknowledge that this place was worth preserving by having a museum, a mini museum and webpage for it. I say preserve the whole damn thing and stop with this nonsense, but of course...
Their model should be the whole project should be preserved as a a really dumb idea.
Yeah, how about we have a hallway in the Hotel Pennsylvania for dumb ideas, and we have a website link to that. We'll do that. We even run the website.
I just think, you know, a big city like New York, I think the energy, if it was really about the people and what we need as commuters and what we need as a city, and I think, you know, we've seen some of the projects the mayor's doing that are actually sort of fruitful. I think if there was real emphasis on that, and we forget these big real estate, you know, tycoons and, you know, Trump guys, whatever the heck they're doing, these finance clowns, get them out of this stuff. Let's really worry about the people and actually fix something. And, and that's where the money needs. I wanted to see models of the underground system that the city's going to do. And I think a big city like New York is capable. And I'm really kind of shame on them, you know.
Yeah.
They should really have that be the priority instead of, oh, let's have a big private companies come in and let's see what they can offer us. It's like big gifts or something, you know.
So anyway, we did that, and that was our morning. That was most of our day, in fact. We'll talk more about it tomorrow on Off the Hook, because obviously a lot of people listening in New York City will be interested in this too. It's a step, you know. It's one step in the process. And of course, if you look in the papers today, you'll see the hearing was covered, but really not a word about saving the hotel. It's mostly about the fight between the Empire State Building and Vornado. The story will continue. We'll keep you up to date on that. Now, afterwards, we took a little trip around the block. Literally around the block from this is the site of that proposed mosque. The proposed mosque by the Ground Zero, where the 9/11 terrorist attack took place. And, whoa!
You got freedom of religion.
I triggered this. I'm sorry.
I understand. But Ground Zero is one location where a mosque shouldn't stand.
Turn this down, please.
Our hearts keep breaking when we envision that tragic time.
We only have 19 minutes left.
Heard all by means victory of Islam.
We gotta stop it, can't let them build it. God help us retain the honor and trust. In God we trust. For all the families that have suffered so damn much. We gotta stop it.
People died a block and a half away. Are you serious?
Many innocent Americans were killed. If we let them build it, can't you see? They'll turn 9/11 to a mockery. We gotta stop the mosque at Ground Zero.
Oh, yeah.
Coming to knows that every big
thing. Making fools of us.
Thousands of Americans.
Oh my God! You're kidding, right?
Wow.
We didn't alter this at all. This is how it sounds. Oh boy! Do you know who that is? That's this guy named Trade Martin, who actually he worked with Johnny Power in the late 1950s, recording as Johnny and the Jokers, together launching the label Rome Records. They signed the Earls, Dell and the Escorts, the Glens. He played all the backing instruments, overdubbing them track by track. He spent 30 years in production and arrangement, doing work from 60s girl group era through to 1980s pop. He's worked with Eric Anderson, Ellie Greenwich, Leslie Gore, The Tokens, Ian and Sylvia, Rick Nelson, BT Express. List goes on and on. And on August 21st of this year, Martin's single, We've Got to Stop the Mosque at Ground Zero, was recognized as the worst song in the history of recorded music at FARC. Well, it's hard not to recognize it that way, but boy, that was something else. And, yeah, we walked over to the site of the subject of that song.
Yeah.
Which actually is an abandoned, well, not abandoned, but former Burlington Coat Factory building. It's not really on Ground Zero, and this is something that I can't believe people continue to say when it's not true. It's two blocks away. You can't see the site from there. There are all kinds of businesses on that block. It's basically a fake issue. It's something that some bigot somewhere brought up and said that this is something that we're going to draw a line in the sand and make sure that these evil people can't worship in their place. In fact, they're worshiping there now. We walked inside. We were welcomed inside.
Yeah.
We just were asked to remove our shoes. We walked in. It's a very plain room with a carpet, with no furnishings or anything like that. But there were about a dozen or so people praying, and it was very quiet and peaceful and respectful. And wow, it's embarrassing to see the kind of reaction this has had. I mean, I'm trying to think of parallels to this, and there are a number of them. You basically have to take the worst possible people in any religion, and that's not too hard to find them, and then simply label an entire religion based on the actions of those few and castigate that religion and think of them as evil in a particular way. And I think maybe let's look at the Catholic priests, for instance, and what they've become known for, right, fairly or unfairly. Why don't we simply have a rule from now on saying that no Catholic church is to be built anywhere near a school, huh? How about that? Why not? What's the difference? Tell me what the difference is. Huh? Can anybody tell me? No?
No.
No. How about this? It's disrespectful to the memory of all the people killed on 9/11 to have something representing Islam so close, Islam being the religion of the lunatics who did this. Well, let's extend that then. Wouldn't it be just as disrespectful to have any Muslims anywhere near Ground Zero, perhaps coming to look at the site or walk in the memorial? Maybe people should be told to remove any headgear that might offend people, that lost people on 9/11. You know, a lot of Muslims died on 9/11 too, and I don't just mean the idiots who perpetrated it. There were a lot of people. America is basically a collection of people from all different walks of life, and certainly Muslim is one of those walks of life, one we should be proud to have with us. Not just to tolerate, but to embrace and to celebrate. And you know, it's Ramadan now. People don't know so much. I mean, I don't know a lot myself about these customs and holidays. But Ramadan is, of course, where you fast from sun up to sundown. And Ramadan moves. It was I was sort of confused by this. I didn't realize it. A couple of years ago, it seemed like Ramadan was around Christmas time. And then it seemed like it was around Thanksgiving time. And I was like, what's going on here? Is it because Hanukkah moves, but doesn't move that much? And now it's August, and it's Ramadan. So basically, it sort of, I guess, moves backwards every year and gets a little bit earlier in the year. And the thing is, summer Ramadan has a particular challenge to it. And we don't think about these things, but the days are longer. So that means you have to fast for longer. And where you just were, Kyle, you were in Holland. The days are very long there. They last until 11 o'clock at night sometimes. The sun comes up very early. So there's maybe a 5 or 6 hour window where you don't fast. And so it's a particular challenge for summer Ramadan, which I guess is what you call this. I think that's really cool. Obviously, it's more than just cool, but it makes the holiday, the whole custom, more fascinating and interesting when it's different. It's not just the same thing every year. Every year is a little bit different. And I just find that fascinating, and I'd like to learn more about it. And it's a shame that these idiots going around with their hatred spewing are never going to realize that. They're never going to learn.
That's kind of a huge barrier to learning more about it. you know, doing things that are just more integrated, I think, is the key to the, you know, the lessons that came out of the tragedy at Ground Zero. And I think continuing sort of segregation and keeping people separate, that's, I think, what evil wants, is people to be separate and mm-hmm. not understand and not have universal thinking and you know, sort of some, you know, acceptance and growth as a human and for human beings and as a global community. And I mean things like having religious leaders study together of different faiths, like interdisciplinary study for imams and priests and this kind of thing. I think those are the steps that are going to lead to people understanding religions a lot better instead of keeping things segregated. And I think those are the kinds of progressive ideas we need.
I think that's interesting, too, that all these elders of a particular religion can get together and learn from each other and sort of unite so that they can all fight the gays. Well, they do. Every organized religion fights gay people. You notice that? They had this gathering in Israel once where all the people who were at war with each other got together just to, like, fight against some kind of parade or something like that. And it's unbelievable, the intolerance sometimes that you see everywhere within the organized religion and outside the organized religion.
Well, I mean, I think that speaks to the ban on heterosexuals at Ground Zero that that I heard about.
I heard everybody who hijacked an airplane was heterosexual.
Yeah.
And male. So,
yeah.
You know, let's look at that too.
So
why stop it at the Muslims?
And that's why they're ganging up, and they don't want
a particular age group
to be allowed there. Yeah. So
wow. There's a lot you can say about this.
Yeah, it's serious.
There were demonstrations on Sunday. Counter demonstrations and demonstrations against the mosque. The signs, some of the signs I saw, I wasn't there myself, but I was watching the coverage of it, and some of the signs just really annoyed me. You can build a mosque at Ground Zero when I can build a church in Mecca. Okay, so basically, yeah, what you're saying is that we're going to shed all of our values and simply adopt the values of another country and oppress people the way they oppress people and not fancy ourselves any better than that. We're just going to live by those rules instead of our rules. So because Mecca, the customs there prohibit you from doing something, which, you know, I don't even know if that's true, we're going to do the same thing. And maybe we should execute people the same way they execute people in other parts of the world, chop off hands when people steal loaves of bread, whatever, just because we're going to prove that we're no better than anybody. Well, you're certainly doing a bang-up job of proving that, the person holding that sign. They're playing songs like Born in the USA. You know, Bruce Springsteen would not go for this. I know he would not go for this kind of blind hatred at all. God Bless America. I'm not sure who wrote that, but I don't think they'd go for it either. Here's a quote from somebody who actually lost someone on 9/11. Brian Vanacore, Brantford, Connecticut, said building a mosque so close to the World Trade Center would desecrate the memory of his brother Edward, who was killed in the 9/11 attacks. It's disrespectful to build a mosque so close to where my brother's ashes still are. And, you know, while I feel for him, I certainly do, how do you tell somebody that they're completely blind and wrong and being misled and used? Because obviously somebody who has felt the pain in that way is not going to be thinking in a rational, clear way. If you ask somebody who's just been a victim of somebody else's stupidity or maliciousness, what they feel the best way to help that person not do that again would be, which is really what society does do. They try and rehabilitate people and make sure that things don't happen again. And if it's possible to save somebody else, even after a tragedy, well, then that's what they try to do. Not everybody gets executed, after all. Well, if you ask the person who was victimized the most, of course, they're going to be the most unforgiving, except in very rare cases. It's not fair to them to inject them into this. It really is not. And this whole thing about sacred ground, well, how much sacred ground are we talking about here? What else is in this sacred ground? Have we looked at the plans for Ground Zero? What's going to be in the quote-unquote Freedom Tower? I'll bet there's a lot of merchandising going on in there. I'll bet there's a lot of things that are disrespectful to something known as sacred ground. And I'm not talking about organized religion. I'm talking about crass commercialization and various things like that.
You're talking about the twin minarets they're putting up?
Twin minarets, yes, 100 stories tall. They're going to put them right there on ground. You might as well. That might as well be what they're proposing for the reaction it's getting here.
I think that was after the council meeting that we were at.
And we were talking about putting a gay bar on the top of the mosque.
Yeah.
To really,
and a casino.
Yeah. Except, you know, I was looking at...
A casino for children.
Well, I was looking at Muslim gay bar next to Ground Zero Mosque will promote tolerance and dialogue. This is real.
Oh, wow.
We were joking, but unless they're joking, I don't know. It's on Fox News. It's on YouTube. So I'm not sure. I think this is a joke.
I think, you know what that sounds like is...
someone else had the same idea.
A rumor getting mixed in with it, and that's just perfect for churn in the media to turn it into something incredibly sensational just because nobody fact-checks anymore. But,
yeah,
wow,
you know, but again, this is something.
If there was
any bar on sacred ground, is that respectful?
Yeah, should we really be celebrating, drinking, and
right, exactly? Should people
revelry on such a somber? Yeah,
it's sad, and the thing I'm afraid that they're going to cave in and move somewhere else, even though there's a mosque a mere two blocks away and always has been. That was never made an issue. And that could be made an issue, too, I suppose, if whoever started this decides to continue their campaign. But if they, if they're able to drive them away, it's such a bad precedent. It makes me really ashamed to be a New Yorker, even, which is a pretty rare thing to say, and New York usually is a lot more aware than this. And I think there are a lot of people out there that get it, that aren't speaking up. The mayor I'm very impressed with. He gets it. And I find myself agreeing with him a lot lately, which is worrisome. But it's sad. I know they were talking about this overseas as well. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a worldwide issue. Something to think about. We're almost out of time, unfortunately. So I want to continue with this issue. We could go on for hours. We could take phone calls. Maybe next week we can do that. Of course, you won't be here.
I won't.
Oh.
I'll be listening, though.
Yeah, you'll be listening. Maybe you can call in.
Maybe I can. Yeah. I've done that in the past.
Yeah, that's the thing. You called in way in the past, before I even knew you. And that was it's really kind of cool. We found the show, too. And
yeah.
We won't tell you where it is. You'll have to find it on your own.
You'll have to find it.
Yeah. Any last thoughts in the minute and a half that we have before we have to put it out?
Well, thank you again for having me. And I'm really, really enjoying these experiences. And let's create a whole big bunch more.
Yeah.
And you be well. And I'll come back and join you soon.
I'd be well, all right.
We're
going to have all kinds of adventures. And, of course, you'll be hearing the voice of Kyle in Albania with me in some week coming up. Might be a week that we go somewhere else. Who knows? We'll figure that out as it happens. And, of course, tomorrow you'll be on Off the Hook as well.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about the Hotel Pennsylvania hearing, even though it wasn't really a Hotel Pennsylvania hearing. It was a Vornado hearing and Empire State Building hearing and things like that. You can read about that if you just go onto the web and look for Empire State Building. I'm sure all the stories will be about the battle they're having. And again, you know, if that happens to keep the tower from being built, then, you know, I'll take that even though they don't care about the hotel.
How about real estate investor and finance industry hearings?
Yeah, you know, how about the people get a say? They always have these hearings at 9 o'clock in the morning on a working day when people can't make it.
Gosh, that was so educational.
All right, we're out of time. I want to thank everybody. Kyle, last word?
No, this is great. Thank you, and I'll be back, and you stay well.
Good night. Oh, I played the wrong one. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, good night.
Another last word, Kyle, sorry.
Good night.
That's good. Good.
I played a double jeu. Yo, shall I, my Easter? I cry, I pray.